Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 466, Doors of the Bible. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, April 5th, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yes. So, praise God. He is risen. He is risen. Okay, yes, good. We got it. We got it down. All right. Praise the Lord. We're good. Let's just pray. Let's just turn our hearts once again toward him. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your prayer language, let's just operate in that for a moment. Our spirit, his spirit speaking to our spirit. You're the reason, Jesus. You're the reason. Like we sang in the song, you're the reason I woke up today. You're the reason I'm here. I came to praise you, Jesus. I came to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who death couldn't hold him down. The one who went, died on the cross for me. The one who went to hell and back so that I could live an abundant life. You, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you are the one that we worship today. You are the reason why we are here. We turn our hearts toward you. We turn our heart's affection to you and only you, Jesus. Shiakarana, oh, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we look to other things to fill us up, to satisfy us. Forgive us, Lord. Today, we get right with you and we put all of our adoration, all of our worship, it goes to you. Shiakarana, hekarototo. Hiya baba, we're thankful and we're grateful to call ourselves your children. Oh, Abba, Abba, Father, Shiakarana Hiakabaroto. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts today. Transform us with your word today. Father God, take the words that I speak and minister to each heart and life the way that you know best how to do. You're an expert. You're the expert pastor for each person. You are the great shepherd. You are the advocate cheering each one on. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would take the word and just minister to each heart and life. Let them feel your embrace today. Let them sense your presence, that you are near and you are with them. You are for them and you love them. Speak to each of us through our word, and we receive that in our hearts today. We thank you, God, that you're an awesome God and that you're not dead and you're not in the tomb. We thank you that the tomb is empty. You emptied it out to show how glorious you are and to show what an amazing God you are. We praise you today in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to talk about an object. We're going to talk about a part of a house, really. It's a door. Doors are important, right? Yes. I mean, windows are important. We have windows. There's windows in the Bible. I heard a sermon once on windows. I think maybe that's what kind of inspired me then to start thinking about doors. Well, if there's windows in the Bible, then there's got to be doors. And then we went to, a few years ago, for the first time, we went to see the Ark Encounter, Noah's Ark. Has anyone seen that in Kentucky? It's really awesome. And they have a whole thing about the door. And so I got inspired about the door and thinking about doors in the Bible and doing a little digging about doors in the Bible. Do you ever think about doors in the Bible or other? Maybe there could be future sermons like other, I don't know, parts, windows, doors, and more.
Key.
isn't that a window company commercial? Windows, doors, and more? Okay, so the more is to come. Those are future sermons that I haven't quite figured out yet. We'll just put more on it right now. The keys in the Bible. Okay. Praise the Lord. There could be a lot more. Praise God. All right. So doors are depicted throughout throughout the word, throughout the scripture, and they point to, in my opinion, what I've studied, and there's probably a lot more than we're going to talk about today. We're just going to talk about four today, but they point to the gospel message, and they represent, doors represent, it's a threshold, right? It's a beginning and it's an end. You know, when you came in that door, you stepped, you know, off the concrete and into something new. The door was open to you and you stepped over that threshold. And so a door represents a decision. It represents, you didn't have to come in here. Maybe somebody pushed you in here. Or you said, I'm going in. I got up today to praise like we sang in the song. So I'm going to step over the threshold. You made that decision and you walked through the door and here you are. Praise the Lord. So doors can be, they're like a bridge, right? It's a transition from one thing to another thing. They can be a bridge to salvation, eternal life with Jesus, or doors in the Bible, as I was studying it and found, they could be a barrier resulting in damnation. Because if the door is shut, and you can think of a few stories, the door is shut and you're not on the right side of the door, guess what? Eternal damnation, right? I think of the story of what's the title of the story? The 10 virgins or the wise virgins, right? That they were told to prepare, that the groom was coming to get oil in their lamps, and five were wise and they prepared, right? And five were foolish, right? They were lazy. They were, we'll get it later. So that's a message for any procrastinators in the house. Don't wait till later. Be prepared, like the Girl Scout motto. Be prepared. Get your oil in your lamps because you don't know when the groom's coming back, right? And then what happened? The groom came back and those that had oil in their lamps and their lamps were trimmed, they were prepared and ready, they went into the wedding feast. And the others had to go out and scurry and find the oil, get their lamps trimmed. We're not ready. We're not prepared. Right? Frantic chaos. And what happened? The door was shut. Right? And they said, let us in. It's too late. I don't know you. Right? The door is shut. And so in that case, it can be a barrier. It can be, that hindrance that prevents you or a person from moving into eternal life, the good thing, salvation, light on the side of Jesus. We know that Christ opened the door of salvation to us. He has opened wide the door by dying for us on the cross. And of course, he rose again. That's what we're celebrating today. And so let's jump in and let's look at some of these doors that represent this threshold or this decision. Are you ready? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, the first door is, we'll start with what I already mentioned, the door to the ark, to Noah's ark. So God was displeased with all of the evil and the corruption and just the wrong-heartedness, if that's a word, really just widespread evil that contaminated his creation, his humanity. He created, right, Adam and Eve, and they grew and multiplied, and they responded, they obeyed to what he told them, the instructions in the garden. But with the fall of man, sin was prevalent now, right? And so evil just spread like yeast. It grew and grew and grew. And God was grieved and God was displeased with that state of his beloved creation. That's not how he had dreamt of it being, right? And so God intervened to stop the spread of evil. And the wickedness is, that's another good term, wicked. The people were wicked. So he intervened to stop that spread, like yeast of the wickedness of humanity with what? Sending the The rain, right? Pitter, patter, pitter, patter. The rain, and not just a little pitter, patter, but a flood, right? And there had never been rain on the earth before. So he sent the flood, and God calls Noah. Hey, Noah, years before to build the ark, and he gave him specific instructions. And so he instructs Noah, who he found righteous, to go into the boat, right, into the ark with his family, because God found them righteous in his eyes. And he gave them specific instructions, right, the 2x2 to take pairs of the different animals. You can read all about this in Genesis. Beginning chapters of Genesis. And he tells them he's going to send rain on the earth for 40 days and nights. Can you imagine that? They'd never experienced rain at all, and it's going to happen for 40 days and nights. Now, I don't know here in Fort Wayne how many days it's been raining. Several, right? And we've got like flooding around. And so can you imagine the great flood? This is like a lot of rain that we're talking about, wiping out mankind, really, humanity, his creation, except for Noah and his family. And so let's, I caught you up to speed. That was Reader's Digest, Cliff Notes version. So let's start and read a little bit at what happens next and about the door. So you can pay attention, look for the door in this passage that we're going to read. So Genesis 7, starting with verse 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So Noah was 600 years old. Wow. Everyone can just say, wow. Wow. Noah was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. He went on board the boat to escape the flood, he and his wife and his sons and their wives. With them were all the various kinds of animals, those approved for eating and for sacrifice, and those that were not, along with all the birds and the small animals that scurry along the ground. They entered the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God had commanded Noah. After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth. When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the second month, all the underground waters erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. The rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. That very day, Noah had gone into the boat with his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. With them in the boat were pairs of every kind of animal, domestic and wild, large and small, along with birds of every kind. Two by two, they came into the boat, representing every living thing that breathes. A male and female of each kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. I wish I had a door up here. Bang, shut, right? The door is closed behind them. So then the story goes on, and you can read it more, but it rains for 40 days, and water covers the entire earth, and everything on earth died. Everything was destroyed, including the people, except for Noah. Can you imagine? And I know you've seen, have you seen those illustrations, the pictures of people on boats trying to, or a little piece of wood trying to like scrape and work their way, and they're crying and I mean, in torment, right? Because they know they're going to be destroyed. And the door was shut behind them. Wow. Wow. Now, in this case, with this story, with the door, God decided for them. Praise God that today we have a choice. You have a choice. You walked through that door like I talked about. We walked through that door. And those of you, maybe most of us, but I don't want to assume, that have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a choice to receive that and receive, the gift of eternal life. In this story, they didn't have a choice. God decided, didn't he? And wow, some, you know, it seems like, wow, that's so harsh, or people have a hard time reading this story, reading the Old Testament and saying, wow, that was such, like, what a cruel God that he just wiped everyone out. Well, really, it was his heart of mercy, because he dreamt for so much better for his creation. And he wanted the Garden of Eden. That was his dream for his creation, his beloved children. And so really it was a show of mercy. Let's start over, right? And so, yes, destruction had to happen in order for that to come, for the new life to come through Noah and his family. But he chose that door to be a bridge to salvation for Noah and all the animals that were saved there. What if they refused? Did you ever think about this? What if they refused to pass through the door? Like, they're the chosen ones. They're the ones that God deemed righteous. But what if they had said, you know, give me a stubborn animal, mule, stubborn donkey, just, you know, on the ramp. You see the pictures of the ramp going up. You can put the picture up. If a mule just, says, I'm going to be true to my character, true to my reputation. Everyone calls me stubborn all the time. Well, I'm going to be stubborn, and just decides, put on the brakes. I'm not going in. Well, go in. You're a chosen one, right? Because there's mules out there that aren't going to get to go in the ark. So the closed door, it to those that were outside, the people and the animals that were outside, that was a sign of judgment, wasn't it? That was a sign of, hey, we're going to be destroyed. And many people believe that today, you know, when you think about a closed door, a shut door, that's a problem. Or that's a rejection, right? Have you ever had a door, metaphorically speaking, in your life close, maybe a job that you wanted or something, or a relationship, and that door just slams shut in your face? It hurts, right? It's a rejection. And we don't understand it sometimes, because maybe we prayed a lot for this thing, the open door, the job, the husband, you know, whatever, and it's shut in your face. Well, depends on which side of God's favor you're on. If you're found righteous, it wasn't that way for them. They were found righteous. They found God's favor, Noah and his family, right? But we need to see the closed doors in our lives as really God's protection. It's God's protection. You want to be, we want to ask ourselves and consider, what side of the door are we on? We want to be on the side and, like Noah and his family, judged as the righteous ones. And then God's shut door for them, for Noah and his family, God's shut door was, this is God's protection. This is God's, I'm going to refuge in his protection, because he's protecting us. He's guarding us. He's keeping us. He's saving us. And sometimes we have, whether it's whatever the situation is, a job, I just think of a job situation where that door closes and you thought, I'm going to walk through that door. God, you're going to open that door. And it doesn't, it shuts. You know what? It could be that sometimes God is shutting a door because he is protecting you, or from a relationship that you think you want. And, oh, I got to have that, or whatever thing it is. And the shut door is staring you at the face. And the enemy, of course, loves to taunt us with the shut doors. And ha ha, na 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 boo boo, I shut the door in your face. You're staring at that wood. You know what? Shut up, devil, because God knows what's best for me. And sometimes he allows doors to be shut so that I can walk in his protection, in his safety, and be right where he wants me. A shut door doesn't feel good, does it? Mm-hmm. It does not feel good. But you know what? God has greater and bigger than we can see. Do you trust him? Do you trust him when the door is shut in your face? This is talking about when you're on, make sure you're in God's favor. Make sure you're on the side of righteousness. Make sure you have Jesus in your heart and that you are submitted to God, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. right? So praise the Lord for sometimes for shut doors. I bet Noah and his family were praising God that they were on that side of the shut door, because it was God's mercy, it was his grace, it was his protection. The door, when that door closes, it closes us off to death and destruction, because that's what happened on the other side to those that were not saved, those that were not protected. Stay on the path of righteousness with God. So this door of the ark, it reminds us that we need to go through a door to be saved. And when you go to visit the replica in Kentucky at the Noah's Ark Encounter, they have a big door there. And it serves as a reminder for us, choose Jesus. We now get a choice. Noah and his family and those that were not chosen and those that were destroyed, they didn't have a choice. But we have a choice to be saved. Jesus now is our door that we can choose willingly to walk through, walk over that threshold, and enjoy abundant life with him. That is awesome. Praise God. All right, you ready for the second door? Second door. Door number two is the Passover door. And Pastor Israel talked a little bit about the Passover meal, the Seder supper. We're going to talk about the door, the instructions that were given to the Israelites. So the context is that the Israelites were in slavery, right, for many years in Egypt. And Moses was the leader, chosen as the leader to lead the people to freedom, to lead them out of slavery in Egypt. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the evil king, he refused and was putting up a good fight, right? He refused to let the people go, to let the Israelites free. So God brought how many plagues? Are we asleep?
10.
We do have coffee out there if you need a little pick-me-up. 10. Okay, one person got it. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. So God brought, to punish Pharaoh, God brought 10 plagues, and each one got increasingly terrible. And so the last plague that God brought on the people was that the first son of every family in Egypt would die. Wow, terrible, right? But so the night before they were set free, the Lord instituted the Passover, and he gave instructions to each Israelite household to slaughter a spotless lamb, right? And so we're going to pick up reading more of these instructions in Exodus. And after we read the scripture, you can put up the picture. So this is Exodus 12, verse 7, and then we'll skip to 12 through 14. So these are the instructions given to the Israelite children, the Israelite families. They were to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the house where they eat the animal. On that night, God's speaking to them. He says, on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. All right. So that's what the instructions that God gave. And then the picture is going to go up here in a second. So God then instructed the Israelites to observe the Passover feast from then on as a lasting memorial to celebrate his freedom for them and to celebrate for generations to come, that his blood represents protection, that his blood represents that the angel of death would not harm them, would not come to them and bring death and destruction. And of course, when the angel of death came and saw the blood over the doorposts, that he truly passed over right? And so then it says in the Bible, if you read it, there was loud crying heard at night because the families were waking up and realizing that their firstborn son was killed. Terrible, right? But the blood of the lamb, the blood of the spotless lamb was poured out, and the people followed the directions and they were spared from this judgment. Hallelujah, right? They were spared from by the blood smeared on the doorposts. There it is. I tried to find like the most authentic picture that I could find. I don't know if that's how it really looked, but there is the blood on the doorpost there. So today we have a perfect substitute. Hallelujah. We have Jesus. He, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:9 calls Christ a lamb without blemish or defect. And it says that through his precious blood that we are redeemed. That's what 1 Peter 1:19 says. But I'm going to, let's put up 1 Corinthians 5:7. This says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So that instructions that God gave to the Israelites when they were coming out of slavery from Egypt, that was a foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the blood on us today, right? Covering us. Jesus today is our Passover. He, the angel of death, passes over us. That means Satan can't touch me, right? Can't touch this. Is the blood of Jesus, this represents the blood of Jesus. Is the blood of Jesus, is it painted upon the doorposts of your life? Your life, like metaphorically speaking, you're a door, right? And just like the God gave the instructions to sacrifice the lamb, the spotless lamb without defect or without blemish, over the posts of their door. We now have a choice. We have that choice with the blood of the lamb. Is the blood of the lamb on your door, your life, your heart? It should be, this is me wrapping myself in the red cloth representing the blood of Jesus. And I'm covering up the mic, so I'm causing a problem. Sorry, sound people back there. Praise the Lord. A little applause for our sound and our tech people team. They are awesome, and they serve in one Sunday in, one Sunday out, and we're thankful for you. Sorry I do weird things like that, and you guys have to try to follow me on when I'm moving all over the screen on the live stream and the sound, and anyways, they're great. They put up with me. So anyways, yeah, the blood of Jesus, does it cover the door of your life, the door of your heart? It should. It can. Let's just display this right here. Praise the Lord. I love that. We have a blood barrier. This is the blood of Jesus. We don't physically have to do this anymore. We don't have to paint blood on our doorposts. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that? We have Jesus. He is our blood covering. He is the barrier that protects us so that sickness cannot befall us. Shame, condemnation, weak, lack, infirmity, any of that. Jesus paid the price. His blood was poured out so that you and I could live an abundant life, so that we didn't have to suffer whatever the angel of death brought by, whatever it brings by. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Amen. Amen. One person's excited. Praise the Lord. I was going to say, before you said amen, I was going to say, that's a good time to say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Like, this is good news, guys. Good news. The good news of Jesus. Like, almost too good to be good news. Did I say that right? I don't know. But you get the point, right? Like, is it for real? Like, he did what he did? I only had to just show up and say yes. Like, I get the easy end of the deal, right? Praise the Lord. He did the heavy lifting for us. So, I remember just a few years back during COVID time was when I think I really God gave me a deeper revelation because of the time that we were walking through of the value of the blood of Jesus. And, you know, my husband at that time was an essential worker, and he worked at a very public place and had to go into work every day. And I was going into people's homes, and not that we were super fearful. I'm not really, like, I don't know what you say. I eat leftovers, like, after you probably shouldn't and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not, like, super worried about, like, germs and stuff. But, you know, like, the media and people do a great job of, like, bringing fear. There's just, like, a whole fear thing around, you know, what we all walk through, right? And so you kind of think, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? And, like, my husband's an essential worker, and I'm going into people's homes, and, you know, that one starts coughing, and, like, you know, your mind doesn't need much help to blow it all up and, oh my gosh, I'm dying, you know, all this stuff. And the government wants to know if I get a little cold and, okay, I'm going to behave. I'm going to just rein it in here. But anyways, the point of the story, get to the point, Sarah. The point is I began to understand the blood of Jesus. And we would say this, we would pray and we would anoint each other. I remember anointing him many times and just saying the blood of Jesus covers you as you go into this public place and you're cleaning and being with people, you know, because we can't rely on a mask here. We got to rely on the blood of Jesus. And he just took me much deeper in the appreciation, the value of the blood of Jesus. And guess what? COVID free. We never got COVID. We declared we wouldn't. And I'll speak for myself. I dealt with fear when it would come and, oh, this and that, and, oh, you were exposed and all this stuff that was going around. And it was like, no, I'm going to stand in the blood of Jesus and praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus covers my life, covers my door, the door of my heart. And so I am not dealing with whatever the angel of death tries to bring my way. Praise the Lord. Okay. Door number three. One of my favorites. I love this. And this is, you know, a lot of focus today, and all the pictures on social media are about the tomb, right? The empty tomb. So the third door is the door of the tomb. Jesus was crucified on the cross, as we know, and rose from the dead on the third day, as he told his disciples, as he had prophesied, as he had promised them. So let's look at Matthew 28, 1 through 10. And then at the end of the scripture, you can put up the picture. So early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, I love it when a new day dawns, praise the Lord. If you're in a hard, dark season, get ready because the new day is dawning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone. Okay, the stone in this case, it was the door. It was covering the door and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid, right? The tomb is empty. So an angel had rolled back the stone. Again, I don't know how authentic this picture is. I mean, it looks pretty like real rock cut there. But, you know, I don't know what it looks like exactly. I wasn't there. But we can imagine, right? And so the door was, it's depicted as a circle, was, you know, like the stone that was placed in front, right? And when, you know, when the, after Jesus news got out and, you know, Jesus was crucified on the cross, the religious leaders and the Pharisees came and said to Pilate, you know, like, oh no, they could, you know, you, what can you do to make sure, let's secure this, make this as secure as possible. And Pilate's answer, so that the disciples wouldn't go in and like steal his body and try to say that, you know, whatever, that to match what Jesus had said, because he wasn't shy about it, had said that he was going to rise again in 3 days. So Pilate's answer was put a guard there and put a seal. A guard and a seal. Well, guess what? Even the power of God is greater than their best effort. You know, the enemy's best effort to shut you down, to lock you up, to close you up, to keep you in darkness. The power of God is greater than that. Hallelujah. So the stone was rolled away by the power of God, by an angel of God, right? And so I get off my notes and then I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Jesus is faithful to fulfill what he has said to you, just like he said to the disciples. He did what he said he was going to do. He knew death was coming for him, and he told them, I'm going to rise in 3 days. Jesus, just the same, every word that he has spoken to you, to your heart, and every word that he has spoken, his Logos word, he will fulfill in your life. And you know what? Sometimes behind the door, we can talk about closed doors. Jesus in the tomb feeling like, well, he knew the truth of what was going to happen, right? He was already dead. His body had already left him on the cross when he gave up his spirit. It says he gave it up to the Father, right? But imagine, so the dead body, just the carcass then, it was an empty because his spirit had left in the tomb, dark, cold. Did I say dark? I'm talking dark, right? Do you ever feel like you're in a dark place in your life and I don't see the light. I don't see the end of this. I don't see when this is coming. You know what? Life is coming. The power of God is over your life. Again, if you've chosen and you have the blood of Christ wrapped around you, darkness cannot stay. Death cannot hold. It couldn't hold Jesus down, and it can't hold you down either. So rise up. Rise up, child of God, right? We heard a message so powerful, and it's taken me on a journey, and I'm digging into this. We heard a message a few weeks ago at a conference about the darkness and what God does in the darkness, that God does his best work sometimes in the darkness, you know, and he used the example of, you know, think about the from conception, the time that a child is conceived in its mother's womb, and that 9 months of development. He develops us in the darkness. When we can't see and we feel like we're fumbling around and it's not how you said, God, and it's not how it should be. I'm a child of God and I should be walking in the light and it should be all good and it should be all easy and the path should just be laid out before me on a, we could turn this into a red carpet, you know, and it's not, and it's really dark in here in this tomb. What are you doing? Well, he knows what he's doing. He's knitting you together. He's developing things. It says in somewhere in Isaiah, it says, He gives you, he will give you the treasures in the darkness. Oh my gosh, this will be a future message because I'm just like camping out. I have like tents all over this word about he will give you the treasures in the darkness. When the answer hasn't come the way you thought it has and you think it's dark, you feel like you're in the tomb, you feel like God has buried you and where are you, God? He gives you treasures in the darkness. The secret that I'm learning, that I have learned and continue to learn, and he's just taking me deeper and deeper, it seems, in this, is keep your heart soft. In the dark place, when you are fumbling around and you can't see where you're going and you feel like you're knocking into stuff, you feel like a hot mess, you feel like you don't have it all together, cling to Jesus. The blood of Jesus wrapped around your life. Cling to Jesus. Cling to his word. He will show you what he's doing. And if he doesn't, just hold on. The new day is coming. The dawn will come. The sun will come up. You will come out to light and you will see that he's developed something in you that is good and that is strong. And you can praise him now for what you know is coming, right? He develops perseverance and patience. And there's many scriptures that are going to be in this future sermon series that I haven't even worked all out yet, but the point is, there is something that we experience with Jesus. When you walk with him, when you're in a dark season, there's just depths of his heart and depths of his person, the depths of Jesus that you experience, that he exposes, that he reveals to you when you're in a dark place. Like when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. And that is what I'm discovering, that it's almost like the darkness, it's dark and it's not fun. But you know what? I'm finding Jesus there. And that is amazing. And that is all worth it. And I just go, I'm clinging to you, Jesus. I'm clinging to your word. It's not how I thought it would be, but you know what? You're here. And just like we prayed this morning, Psalm 16, he will show you the path of life. And that life has to do with resurrection. It has to do when it looks dark, when it looks dead, when it looks like it is over. It's not over. I'm not going to say until the fat lady sings. It's not over until Jesus shows himself and you say, the light has dawned. A new day has come. It's not over until he says, it's not over. Get up, child of God, and walk. Walk in the light. Walk in what I'm showing you. And you know what? When the light dawns and you come out of that dark tomb, you are different. You are transformed because you've seen him. You've walked with him. You've cried with him, deep places of your heart. And he reveals himself to you in deep, deep ways that you don't experience when everything's good and you're walking in the light and I'm good and I'm good. It's different. He's with you then, of course, but there's a depth of his. It's the treasure in the darkness. He is the treasure, your treasure in the darkness. And that is beautiful. And that's what I'm enjoying. It's almost like this weird thing of like, well, do I enjoy the dark? Because I'm meeting with him in deep ways that are amazing. And so if you find yourself in a season where you feel like they've crucified you, they've spat on you, you've been ridiculed, you've been shamed, and it looks dark, and you're there, and you're like, this is death. This is not how it's supposed to be. Hang on. And cling to him. Run to his presence. Run to who Jesus is and say, I want to know. Show me the treasure in the darkness. You are my treasure. Show me. You know what? And he will bring life. That's what he does. He's an expert at bringing resurrection life, right? Because then Jesus came out of the tomb. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. And then the door, the stone was rolled away and the light shone through. Hallelujah. The light is going to shone? No, that's past. The light is going to shine through on your situation, in your life, in your heart. And because you went through the dark season, because you went through the darkness, you will be different. You will be transformed because you've seen him, the treasure in the darkness. Hallelujah. He makes you rich through that treasure in the darkness. Whew. You know what else I heard from I listened to this whatever podcast video of a Hebrew rabbi, and he was talking, this blew my mind. He was talking about the word for tomb. The word in Hebrew, kever, for tomb, is also the same word for womb, like the womb where a child is conceived and carried. Wait, mind blown. What? The word for, in Hebrew, for the tomb, where we associate tomb with death, darkness, everything that I just talked about, right? That's the same word for womb. So the tomb represents where promises die, maybe a relationship dies, faith ends, or you feel like it ends, relationships end, but yet that's the same place, the womb, where life and potential and life and more life, that's where those promises are birthed and released, the same place. And that's the treasure in the darkness. That the tomb, that the place in your life, the phase, the chapter in your life that feels like a tomb actually can be a womb where life, where promises, where it launches you into something new. And sometimes we have to go through the darkness to discover he's all I need. I'm clinging to him with everything. He is what I need. Because then when we come out the womb, when the child is born and comes out to face life, guess what? And you're in that new stage, you're still going to need him. Like the baby still needs him. Now everything has changed. It's not dark in there anymore. And like, wah! You know, baby is born, new life. What's life? You know, lights. And that's why a newborn baby, spends a lot of time sleeping, right? Because they're adapting. They're in that transition, that doorway, that threshold from the tomb to, or darkness to life, womb. I just thought that was amazing. Both the tomb and the womb, they are doors, they're portals, they're gateways, they're entryways, right? Death is the doorway to the next life, to what's after that. While the womb is the doorway into this life. It's how we start. Praise the Lord. When Jesus goes into the tomb, he transforms the tomb into the womb. Because that's the place of death. He changes it into a place of life where the womb, the place of new birth, new life, resurrection life. That's when the church was really, that's, now we're talking, right? The disciples, once they figured out what was going on, and then you read the book of Acts, that's where it all began. Now, from the tomb came new life, came the life of the church, the disciples following Jesus, continuing to be transformed by Jesus, on mission then with Jesus to birth the church, to grow the church. And that is our lives. Praise the Lord. We are called to be following Jesus, to be constantly transformed by Jesus. And if you really want to be transformed, tell the Lord that you want a season of darkness. No, don't do that. But he will transform you, and he uses the darkness to do it, right? And then to be, when you come out of that, or even in the middle, you can still give and serve and have something to give because you're clinging to Jesus, because you know that your whole life depends on him, right? We live and breathe and have our being because of Jesus, by the breath, his breath in me, by his grace only, I'm here, right? Praise the Lord. I love this. I spent a lot of time on that one. Praise God. Let's move on. The fourth door, maybe the most important door, is the door of your heart. The previous doors that we all talked about, they point to Jesus and his salvation, but there's this one other important door that is the door of our heart, right? In in the book of Revelation, in this letter to the lukewarm church of Laodicea, Jesus gives this exhortation, and he says, this is Revelation 3, verse 20 and 21. He says, "Look, I stand at the door and I knock." How do I knock into that? There we go. That was pretty good, right? Wow. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." Praise the Lord. So Jesus promises, did you see the promise in there? He says, "I will do this. I will come in." He's standing at the door of each of our hearts, right? To be let in. He's not rude. He's not just going to barge in. He's not a thief, right? He's a gentleman. He will wait to be invited in. And so, and the promise says that he will fellowship. He will share a meal together with you as your friend. Well, yeah, sign me up, God. Jesus, I want to have lunch with you. Like, of course, right? Do we hear his voice and do we open the door to him? And of course, most of us probably have done that, right? We've done that in the one time sense of inviting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Like the first time that you received Jesus as your Lord, he came into your heart. Are you having lunch with him every day? Are you having fellowship meals with Jesus every day? Because that's the promise. So if you're not doing it, cash in on that right there, Revelation 3. Like fellowship with Jesus. Because if you've let him into the door of your heart, he wants to hang out with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. It says, "Those are who are victorious will sit with me on the throne." We know from Ephesians, we are seated in the heavenly realms with him. Do you realize that? Are you walking that way, that you are seated with him in heavenly throne, on the heavenly throne, right? It says somewhere else in the Bible, John 14, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." So if you have, and those of you watching on social media or listening to this on podcasts, if you have invited Jesus into the door of your heart, you've opened that door and you have asked him to be your Lord and Savior, then he has come, the Holy Spirit has come, the Lord has come and made his home with each of you, with you. And if you haven't done that, you can do that. As simple as saying, "Jesus, I know that I've done some things in my life and I don't want to walk alone anymore. I don't want to do things on my own strength. I admit that I have sin, that, you know, I've messed up and I don't want to do it on my own anymore. Would you come and be my Lord and Savior? Would you come? I repent of those things. I turn away and I ask you to come into my heart. I want to hang out with you. I want to have meals with you. I want you to come and make your home with me, in me, and live inside of me." You can do that right now at home or after we're done, after I'm done yapping. Praise the Lord. It's that simple. And after, you know, that initial opening of the door, he dwells in us. He makes his home. What kind of home has he made in you? Some homes might be blinged out, bling, bling. Some homes are like neat and tidy. You know, like, what's your personality? What have you invited God, Holy Spirit, into the door of your heart? Is he in the hallway? Is he still just in that lobby, what's that called? Vestibule, like the opening doorway. Have you allowed him? "Hey, come over here. Come to this room of my heart. Because sometimes there's rooms or closets where we try to hide stuff. You know the one, did you guys do this when you were kids, when your parents were like, go clean your room, go clean your room, it's all a mess, and you just grab everything and you shove it into the closet and then you just shut the door and you're like, don't open the door. Whatever you do, and mom comes in to inspect, how is it? Did you clean your room? Looks pretty good. Looks like you cleaned your room. And the kid's like, do not open the door, whatever you do, right? And so some of us are like that with Jesus, with certain things that we've walked through in our lives. I mean, we laugh, but like, really, we do this, right? With a painful thing, with trauma, with grief, with something that we experienced maybe 40 years ago or whenever ago. And no matter how big or small the event was, it got recorded in your heart, right? As trauma, as hurt. And we try to stuff it all in there and don't open that door. Like, don't put your finger on the wound. Well, you know what? He won't barge in there. He won't barge in those doors. He waits for us because it's a sign of trust. It's a sign that, hey, I trust you, Jesus. With this hard place, with this closet way down the hallway back there that happened when I was yee-high, you know? And we just stuff it away, and he won't know. I'll just clean up and just come on Sunday, and I'll be all right, and it's going to be okay. But there's hurt in your heart. It's like trying to walk with a pebble in your shoe. You walk hindered, right? And you think that other people can't see it, but they can see it. They can see the hurt that you wear. And so let him in to those other rooms, because it's a part of following Jesus is really trusting him, allowing him to transform you. Like, let him into that dark place, because it's dark when the closet door is shut. It's dark in there. When you open it up and you say, Jesus, will you help me? Like, help me open this drawer. Help me open this closet. This is painful. This hurts. I don't want to go back to this time. But you know what? When we let him in there, he brings the light. What was hidden in the darkness, he brings it out to light. He will speak. He will bring his truth. He will bring his revelation. He can show you where he was. Ask him. If you had a painful, like, one-time event or something, ask him, where were you in the room? Because sometimes we think and we assume that, well, he wasn't there. No, he's always there. He's always with you. Where were you, God? Show me. And he might just speak, and he might just show you where he was. He might show you how mad he was at the injustice that was being done to you, his child. And that will change the whole perspective, because you never saw from his point of view. You only saw, God, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you intervene when this was happening, this injustice? And that's why I've shut it away in the closet, because I can't trust anybody and I can't even trust you. But you know what? Jesus, you can trust, because he was there. He saw, and he will show you, if you ask him, where he was. And maybe it's something like that, that he was angry or the injustice, and he will have justice. Amen. It's not for us to have vengeance, right, on the ones that hurt us. Forgive and release. This is a whole nother message, but I guess I'm preaching to somebody. Let him in. The point is, we're talking about doorways, and the doorways in our heart that we hide away and we shut, and we try to get the, what's that? Caulk the door and seal it shut, like they did with the tomb. Well, the power of God, when we choose to let him in, he will change and transform, and you'll never be the same. And you'll walk free without that pebble in your shoe anymore. And when you forgive the people who've hurt you, again, another level of freedom, walking, following Jesus and serving him. And maybe part of your mission will be to help others that you recognize they have a door of their heart shut like that, trying to hide it and not have anybody see and anybody come in. And maybe part of the mission, because you'll see, you'll be able to see, because you walked through that, You have different light. When the darkness opens up and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to show you, it just everything changes. And there will be light there. And you'll be able to bring light to others and partner with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, with Father God in whatever he has for you, whatever that looks like, being on mission with him. The point is, let him into those places in your heart. Praise the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. That is awesome. And that is what he does. All right. Conclusion. Just review. I'm landing the plane. The door of the ark, Noah's ark, reminds us that we need to go through a door, right, to be saved from judgment. And Jesus now is that door for us. He's our door to salvation. God chose for Noah and his family and those he chose for those who were destroyed. But we have a choice today. The choice is ours, right? Choose Jesus. Choose life. So then the other door, the Passover door, just like with Passover, God will see the blood of Jesus covering the door of your heart, covering the door of your life. And the angel of death will pass over you. God's protection is over you if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. The stone door of the tomb was rolled away, and it was discovered that death couldn't and didn't hold Jesus down. If you've given your life to Jesus, death can't hold you down either. Darkness cannot hold you down. It has to, some point, give way to light. Praise the Lord. Darkness will give way to light. So when you're looking at the dark side of the door and that's all you see, hold on, because the new day is about to dawn, amen, right? Amen. Allow him to develop you like he develops a baby in the womb, because that same place that's a tomb is the womb where new life can be birthed, new things that he can do and transform in your heart. And lastly, open the door of your heart to him. Not just that first initial doorway, entryway into your life when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, but all the doors of your heart, of your life, of your experience, of your background. Open those doors to him, even the ones that you feel like would be better off just staying shut. You can trust him and you'll never be the same. Allow him to transform you in the deep places. Allow him to make his home truly in you, and he will make it a beautiful home, better than you ever could make yourself. And better, he's a better decorator than any of us, mm-hmm, right? Praise the Lord. Let him open new doors and take you deeper in his love and his transformation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for doors. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all these doors and many more that we see in the Bible. Father God, I pray, I pray blessings over everyone that's hearing my voice. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would be ministering life through these words, through these symbols of the doors, that you speak to us, God, and you continue to speak to us through what was shared today. And Holy Spirit, water these seeds that have been planted. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. When we open the door to you, to salvation, hallelujah, we find life. Death and darkness have to go because we have you. And so the angel of death has to pass by us in the name of Jesus. Because we have chosen to paint the doors of our heart, the doors of our life with your blood. Jesus, you are the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb that you died for us. So I just pray wellness. I pray wholeness. I pray resurrection life over each one. I bind up any symptoms, any sickness, any disease, any infirmity, any lack, angel of death, move on, because Jesus is here. The blood of Jesus covers those that are in Christ. And I thank you, God, for healing, for wellness, for wholeness, for restoration, springing up and bringing new life, bringing that manifestation of the life that already lives inside of us. Thank you that you always point us as we keep our hearts soft to you through anything that we walk, that you always keep us on the path of life. We can turn to you, God, and we can see that even in when it looks dark, even in those dark times, you will give us treasures in those dark places, that you're developing something that we can't see yet, God, but that you do it and you do it well, and that we will come out on the light, come out with you on the other side, changed and transformed, healed and set free. And I pray that blessing over each one in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for new life, resurrection life, that as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, that new life springs forth in dark places in our hearts, God, that we would learn to trust you in deeper levels with doors that we've closed off in our heart, doors that we've closed off and shut and tried to seal, God, that we would trust you, that we would dare to open those doors to you and allow you to work your light, work your truth, speak to us, show us where you were when we were hurt, God. Show us the truth that we can't see. And I thank you for new life. I thank you for perspective. I thank you for strength rising up. I thank you, Lord, that the same place that we consider a tomb where it looks dead and dark, that it can be a place of launching us into new life, into birth, into new promises. And I pray that over each one in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection life. We are truly blessed and honored to be your children. And we're blessed that you have come to live inside of us, that you have risen again, and that you live inside of us, springing forth with your new life. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I didn't bring my schedule up here. Are we just flowing into prayer, right?
Right.
Okay, because that's different. So we did all the other things first. So if you would like prayer today, if you are dealing with some darkness and you need encouragement, you need to just for us to agree with you, please come up for prayer. Or if you feel like, you know, gosh, I have the blood of Jesus. I've received Jesus as my Lord. But this, you know, it's like the angel of death is trying to come, or I'm dealing with these symptoms, or I'm dealing with this sickness, or I'm dealing with this pain. Well, let us help you. Let us help you agree together and get that stuff off in Jesus' name. Don't go home another day without it. Like the plague of the frogs. Don't sleep with the frogs another night. Why do that, right? And so, hey, if anyone wants to wrap themselves in the blood of Jesus, you can do that. Praise the Lord. Come on up if you would like prayer or agreement today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.